The Gospel of the Eels, A Father, a Son, and the World's Most Enigmatic Fish, by Patrick Svensson, read by Alex Windham. Later in the same fields, he stood at night when eels moved through the grass like hatched fears. Seamus Heaney. 1. The Eel. This is how the birth of the eel comes about. It takes place in a region of the northwest Atlantic Ocean called the Sargasso Sea, a place that is in every respect suitable for the creation of eels. The Sargasso Sea is actually less a clearly defined body of water than a sea within a sea. Where it starts and where it ends is difficult to determine, since it eludes the usual measures of the world. It's located slightly northeast of Cuba and the Bahamas, east of the North American coast, but it is also a place in flux. The Sargasso Sea is like a dream. You can rarely pinpoint the moment you enter or exit. All you know is that you've been there. This impermanence is a result of the Sargasso's being a sea without land borders. It is bounded instead by four mighty ocean currents. In the west, by the life-giving Gulf Stream, in the north, by its extension, the North Atlantic Drift, in the east, by the Canary Current, and in the south, by the North Equatorial Current. 2 million square miles in size, the Sargasso Sea swirls like a slow, warm eddy inside this closed circle of currents. What gets in doesn't always have an easy time getting out. The water is deep blue and clear. In places, very nearly 23,000 feet deep, and the surface is carpeted with vast fields of sticky brown algae called sargassum, which give the sea its name. Drifts of seaweed many thousands of feet across blanket the surface, providing nourishment and shelter for myriad creatures, tiny invertebrates, fish and jellyfish, turtles, shrimp and crabs. Farther down in the deep, other kinds of seaweed and plants thrive. Life teems in the dark like a nocturnal forest. This is where the European eel, Anguilla anguilla, is born. This is where mature eels breed in the spring and their eggs are laid and fertilized. Here, safe in the darkness of the depths, small larva-like creatures with disturbingly tiny heads and poorly developed eyes spring to life. They're called leptocephalous larvae and have a body like a willow leaf, flat and virtually transparent, only a few millimeters long. This is the first stage of the eel's life cycle. The gossamer willow leaves immediately set off on their journey. Swept up by the Gulf Stream, they drift thousands of miles across the Atlantic toward the coasts of Europe. It's a journey that can take as long as 3 years. During this time, each larva slowly grows, millimeter by millimeter, like a gradually inflating balloon. And when at last it reaches Europe, it undergoes its first metamorphosis, transforming into a glass eel. This is the second stage of the eel's life cycle. Glass eels are, much like their willow leaf former selves, almost entirely transparent, 2 to 3 inches in length, elongated and slithery, transparent, as though neither color nor sin has yet to take root in their bodies. They look, in the words of the marine biologist Rachel Carson, like thin glass rods shorter than a finger. Frail and seemingly defenseless, they are considered a delicacy by, among other people, the Basques. When a glass eel reaches the coasts of Europe, it will usually travel up a brook or river, adapting almost instantly to a freshwater existence. This is where it undergoes yet another metamorphosis, turning into a yellow eel. Its body grows serpentine and muscular. Its eyes remain relatively small, with a distinctive dark center. Its jaw becomes wide and powerful. Its gills are small and almost completely concealed. Thin, soft fins stretch along the entirety of its back and belly. Its skin finally develops pigment, coloring it shades of brown, yellow, and gray, and it becomes